This is taken from John chapter 21, Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and the disciples were together. They said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, though, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we come to this passage now with the turmoil of the previous week. And we pray that as we consider these words that Ian has just read for us and with us, that the meaning of these words will strike us. We pray, Lord, that you would melt our stubborn hearts down and give light to our blind eyes. May the Holy Spirit touch our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people said, Amen. So it is at the Last Supper that Peter says these words to Jesus, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. We've just been through Holy Week, and it is very well known in the Good Friday, or should I say the Monday-Thursday story, that Peter will not live up to his word. He denies Jesus not one, not two, but three times in the courtyard. And so therefore we can understand why that despite seeing the resurrected Jesus two times, Peter decides to go fishing. And I believe that he is anticipating a return to his previous profession. After all, he failed Jesus when it mattered the most. He denied Jesus, not one, not two, but three times. And Luke tells us that Peter weeps bitterly after denying Jesus for not one, not two, but three times. And not only does Peter go fishing, he takes six other followers with Jesus with him. James and John are in the fishing boat with Peter. All the three of them are seasoned fishermen, yet they catch nothing, zilch, that night. And despite the resurrection of Jesus, these followers of Jesus are still without direction, and they return to something that they know really well before they met Jesus, fishing. Yet they do not have a fruitful night. So as they now return to the shore after an empty night, I wonder how they feel. We have left fishing to follow Jesus all these past 3 years. Then he dies, then he rises from the dead. Is it Jesus we saw in the room showing us his nail-scarred hands and feet? And after that, he even appeared to Thomas the second time just to convince him that he, Jesus, has risen from the dead. Yet right now, we want to go back fishing and we don't feel too good about our future. So for us, it is now 2 weeks since Easter Sunday. We celebrated Jesus coming alive then. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow, we tell ourselves. However, so quickly we forget about the reality of the resurrection. Like Peter, James, and John, we return to something we know so well, fishing. And only to find out that despite our many years of fishing, we catch nothing that night. We return to the shore, we see that stranger at the shore. Who is this stranger? He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. So this happened the first time when Jesus met these disciples. If you read Luke chapter 5, you will find that the same thing happened. They fished all night and caught nothing. They meet Jesus, Jesus went into the boat to teach the people. But then as he was teaching the people, he told them to drop their nets at a specific place. And they caught so much fish that the nets began to break and their boats began to sink. So now Jesus, at the shore after his resurrection, does the same thing that he did with them for the first time. He comes after they have an empty night and gets them to cast their nets at a specific place. Jesus turns their night of emptiness into a morning of abundance. And this strikes a chord with John. And he remembers the first time when he and his brother James met Jesus. How about how Jesus told them to drop their nets at a specific place and they caught so much fish. So then John cries out, "It is the Lord! It is the Lord!" on the shore. And then as they have breakfast, Jesus does something to remind them of another event. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. And did the same with the fish. Jesus feeds them bread and fish. What does that remind them of? It reminds them of a time when Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This church bears the name of Peter's brother, Andrew. In 1917, they changed the name of this church from Streetsville Presbyterian Church to St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. And I believe it was to reflect the culture of the membership of the day. But I wonder if there's something deeper at the decision of our forebears to change the name from Streetsville Presbyterian to St. Andrew's Streetsville. Look at what Andrew did at the feeding of the 5,000. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many?" You got to remember that there are 5,000 men plus women and children listening to Jesus teach, and Jesus wants to feed them. So Andrew tries his best to help in the situation. He finds a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and he brings them to Jesus. I believe that when Andrew was doing that, he was engaged in a form of prayer. "Here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, Lord, but how far will they go? Here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, Lord. How far will they go in my life? I am so limited in my life. I have only this bank account, and I have struggles with my family. How can you use me, Lord? There is no way I'm worth anything to you. How far will my 5 loaves and 2 fish go for you, Lord?" And we all know what happens with what Jesus does with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He feeds 5,000 men plus other women and children with just the mere 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is incredible what God can do with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so now, in John 21, after the resurrection, Jesus feeds them bread and fish to remind them of the feeding of the 5,000. So whatever doubts the followers have about Jesus rising from the dead are now gone. First of all, he appears to them for the third time after his resurrection, and he reminds them of the time when he first met them and tells them to drop the nets, and they have 153 fish caught. And then he feeds them with breakfast with bread and fish to remind them of the feeding of the 5,000. So it is during this breakfast with his followers that Jesus has what we might call a pep talk with Peter. When we are reading Jesus' chat with Peter, we get the idea, don't we, that Jesus seems to be long-winded. 3 times Jesus asks Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" 3 times Simon answers Jesus, "Lord, you know that I love you." 3 times Jesus makes this statement, "Feed my sheep." Is Jesus being difficult with Peter? Is Jesus long-winded? Not 1, not 2, but 3 times Jesus makes his point. So we must ask the question, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Not 1, not 2, but 3 times. How many times does Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Not 1, not 2, but 3 times. How many times does Jesus ask Peter, "Feed my sheep"? Not 1, not 2, but 3 times. Jesus restores Peter to the ministry of feeding sheep. Jesus is not long-winded. He is restoring Peter to pastoral ministry for as many times as Peter has denied him. Not 1, not 2, but 3 times. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you would stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Church tradition tells us that when Peter was martyred, he was asked how he would like to die. And it is reported that Peter, who was witnessing for his faith, said that he wanted to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified the way his master Jesus was crucified. Peter, as I have fed you, feed my sheep. The past is the past. I forgive you. You might have denied me 3 times, but now I want to say to you, I know, Peter, that you love me. You've said it 3 times now. I love you too, Peter. Now go forth and feed my sheep. 2 weeks ago in Punta Cana, the Dominican Republic, I was amazed at the sight of the beaches. However, I have a confession to make. I grew up in Malaysia, where there are the same type of weather and there's the same type of beach. And so initially, I just wanted to go to the air conditioning room, and I didn't want to enjoy the weather and the beach. I was becoming Malaysian again. However, I had the blessed experience of being a roommate to Pastor Yin of Glenbrook Presbyterian Church, who grew up in winter-laden Toronto area. And all Ian wanted to do was to go down to the beach and enjoy the beach and the sunshine. And so pretty soon, I got influenced by Ian. So I don't know whether Ian is a good or a bad influence of me. But like Peter, in some ways, I was restored on the beach. Yet, Peter is restored by Jesus in a much more profound way on the beach. Jesus affirms Peter's love for him for each time Peter has denied him. Not one, not two, but 3 times. And like in John 21, the resurrected Jesus stands by the shore and offers us a meal this morning. And there are some of us who have toiled through the night and have caught nothing in our lives. And we are questioning if our lives will bear fruit at all. And there are some of us who, like Andrew, will feel, God, all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not worth much. What have I to offer, God? Can you use my mere 5 loaves and 2 fish? Or there are some of us who, like Peter, who feel that we might have denied Jesus not one, not two, not but 3 times, and want to return to fishing. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, I say to you this morning, Jesus offers us this meal to restore us, just as he offered the bread and the fish to his disciples in John 21. And I'm going to say this to you, Jesus will take and do anything to restore you, even though it might be getting you to say that you love him 3 times. And so when we eat this meal this morning, remember that the resurrected Jesus offers you the bread and the fish, and he's reminding you of the feeding of the 5,000. And then we read the words of Paul right now, and these are the words of Paul. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Can we read this together? Can we read this together? For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So Paul tells us that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? We proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's salvation. We proclaim the Lord's resurrection until he comes. This means that with each passing communion meal, we are one meal closer to that great banquet in heaven. There is this great banquet in heaven that is referred to in Revelation chapter 19. And as you all know, Revelation 19, or the book of Revelation, is the final book of the Bible. And so therefore, our lives are moving towards that great banquet in Revelation 19. So, with each passing communion meal, Jesus is now preparing us for that final banquet. He is restoring us with each communion meal we participate on, so that one day when we reach the shores, we will find Jesus still preparing that great banquet for us. And so now we take this meal today, and remember, it's one less sleep, one less meal towards that great banquet in Revelation 19. And remember, when we reached the shores of Revelation 19, Jesus is there preparing that breakfast, that meal for us, that great banquet. And now we anticipate that banquet with the eating of this meal. Let us now proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So if we can now rise and prepare ourselves for this meal now, and we're going to sing hymn 651, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. And remember, in the first stanza it says, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And remember that we are asking that bread of heaven to feed us as we go on through life. And then we will then present our gifts to God and then be joined together in that communion meal, which is one less sleep, one less meal as we approach the Revelation 19 banquet.